I want us to turn tonight to the book of Ephesians and chapter 4, which is, if you understand that Ephesians is the book written mainly to the church and the churches. And it's all about the thing, and especially in chapter 4, where he talks about the church. And that's verses 11 through 16. And when he talks about this, the churches, and that's the focus of this passage, in verse 11 he says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." If you understand what this word means there, the word "some" is some churches. And he gave them leaders. In verse 12, he gave the leaders, verse 11, for verse 12, for the perfecting or edifying or building up the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for your word, and guide us as we look together at it and we discuss the applications of these things. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. We expect the Lord to do some great things, and we're praying for this new property and what all the Lord will do there. But this passage is really, really good application to any church. The first thing that stood out to me as I began to study this passage of Scripture many, many years ago is that the whole passage, when it talks about the thing, the whole passage is looking at the whole church. So every verb and every part of the thing is plural. So he's not talking about you as an individual, but y'all. You see, it's we and us. And that's the emphasis there. For instance, to help you understand what that means, the verse 13, he says, "Till we all come." That's all of us together in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. He's not talking about till I do it, but till we do it. So his plan is for the church to grow, right? And that's an interesting thing, because the growing of the church talks about, and some people say, well, is that growing in number or in spiritual growth? Which one do you think? Is it spiritual or numerical? And the answer is yes. You see, because it all involves in growing. And that's what God's plan is for the church. And so the perfect man is not the church. I mean, it's not the individual, it's the church that he's looking at there. And that's so important. That we henceforth, that's we together, be henceforth no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And then speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And that's the concept that we go. And also the emphasis is on that the church, God's plan for the church is to grow, right? And it is true, I would say, spiritual growth is the primary. But spiritual growth will eventually produce numerical growth. But you don't have to put them in. I think the big problem with the churches in our world today is that they put numerical growth ahead of spiritual growth. And that's the wrong way to do it, you see. Now, the word growth used there in verse 15, but the same type, the word increase is used in verse 16, but the word edifying is used a couple of times or two, and it's a word that means to build up, right? And so the concept of growing and increasing and building up is in God's plan, right? Now, of course, we are dependent always that God's timing plan is not always in agreement with our timing plan, right? And so we trust that God will do some work in his timing plan, and we're trusting that the growth will be there. Now, when you start this passage off, I think some of the biggest differences or problems of discussing this, first of all, comes out of verse 11. What's the problem in verse 11 that causes all of our problems? Remember, he calls the people he's talking about, the implied here is that they're leaders, right? The whole thing, they're leaders. And he mentions how many leaders? Four or five, right? And our problem sometimes is we jump to conclusion that any time God uses a word, it always means in application the same thing it always means somewhere else, right? And that's not always true. For instance, if we do it that way, when we use the word God gives apostles to churches, that means that apostles, that part of the church is gone now, right? We don't have apostles anymore. And if we do that, let me ask you this. Out of all of the apostles, who do you think was probably the number one apostle? Paul? That's a good guess. Isn't it? You'd like for it to be right, wouldn't you? Anybody got another guess? Jesus? Huh? Peter? Yeah. Well, it's in the book of Hebrews, it says that basically the greatest apostle was Jesus Christ. Right? Now, you say, I didn't know he was one of the 12. Well, he wasn't. How many apostles were there? Well, there were 12. But here's the difference. There were other apostles that came later. Jesus was the only one apostle from God to mankind. The 12 apostles were from Jesus to do his work. But then the churches also sent out apostles. But they're apostles of the churches. The real problem is that, is he talking about a title or a description of a kind of leader? You see, the apostles were a specific kind of leader. One of the things is that apostles were people who went out as a complete, full representation of who they were representing. And they also, if you read and study apostles, every apostle was basically planning or out for the purpose of starting some new things. Did Jesus start anything new? Yeah. And the 12 apostles were starting new, and then the apostles of churches were starting new churches, right? And that's the concept. So I personally believe that he was not using that title, but a description of a certain kind of leader, which we still have leaders who like to start new things, right? And they're good leaders. The second one he talks about, a prophet. What kind of a leader was a prophet? What did a prophet do? He proclaimed the word of God. Right? Now, it may be telling something that happened or may not be that, but he was proclaiming the word of God. What do we call a person whose gifts and abilities are proclaiming the word of God today? Preachers, right? It's the same type of leader. You understand? And then, the third one is who? An evangelist. Well, have you any idea what an evangelist would do? It's got something to do with evangelism, right? And a lot of leaders are more evangelistic leaders than anything else. And then he talks about some pastors. What do pastors do? Yeah, basically, they are shepherds, right? They shepherd people. If you think about counseling somebody, what are you doing? Shepherding. One of the best books I read on children was Shepherding the Heart of Your Child. That's the concept that you're looking at and everything. And then the last one is a teacher, and teachers got something to do with teaching, right? That's their strength. But now, here's the question. What is their purpose in the church of any one of these men? Verse 12. So it's what? Equipping the saints. Now, I don't know whether you get the point, but a preacher's main purpose for the church is not just to preach, but to equip and train other people to be able to proclaim the word of God, right? And the teacher, what's their main job in the church? Equip other people to teach, too. You know, I heard about this church had a lady about, I think she was about 68 or 69, and for 40 years she had taught the 8th grade girls class in Sunday school, and she didn't want anybody else messing with her class. Technically, she missed her purpose. Because if she didn't equip some other people to be able to teach 8th grade girl, you see, there's still more teaching you can do, right? But her main purpose as far as the church is concerned is to equip other people to be able to do that, right? Did you know that the pastors are equippers? To do what? Equip other people to shepherd people, right? And the apostles are to be equippers, to equipping other people to do what they do, you see. The whole goal in God's mind is everybody's work, as far as their responsibility in the church, is to equip other people so that the other people will do the ministry. Why is that important? Why is it important that we equip other people so other people can do the ministry instead of me doing it? Huh? It will continue? Sounds good, but, I mean, verse 12, what does it say? The equipment for the work of the ministry for which will result in or produce what? The edifying of the body of Christ, building up the body of Christ is done by those that are equipped to do it by the leaders, right? Did you know that it's amazing to realize that God's plan is not for leaders to do all the work, but leaders to equip people to do the ministry. Look at verse 16, talking about Jesus Christ, from whom the whole body is fitly joined together and compacted by what a few leaders do. Is that what it says? No. It's built up and strengthened and everything by what? By that which, how many of the joints? Every joint supplies. Does that imply that everybody is supposed to be putting into the work of the ministry? Yes. In fact, if you didn't get it the first time, he says after that, according to the effectual working in the measure of what? Every part. Maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. The body edifies itself. We have a philosophy of ministry in America, which is that it's the leaders that edify the body and build it up, right? How clear is the scripture here saying it's not that? The elders, the leaders are given to equip the saints to do the ministry so that the church, the body of Christ, will be built up. Is that right? If that's true, if that's the way God planned it, is it possible that many or most of the churches in America are trying to do it the wrong way? Because if you look at it, in our day, in our churches in America, who's responsible for how good the church is doing? It's usually the pastor, right? And I'm not saying that every pastor is doing everything he ought to do. But he may be spending more of his time trying to do what he's not supposed to do. His main job is what? Equip people to do ministry. And then let them do it. And encourage them to do it. And keep equipping them to do it. Now, does that mean he doesn't do ministry himself? No, he still does ministry, right? Why? He's part of the body, right? And how much of the body is supposed to be involved in the building up of the body? Every part. And I tell you, I don't think I can ever say it any clearer than that. God said it right in this passage. And I tell people, if you don't like it, don't blame me. Because it wasn't my idea. He said it, right? And I think that that's the thing. I've seen God doing it. And I see that's the purpose and goal of Bob and the church here, that you want to do things God's way, right? And that means we need to be committed to doing it that way. And that's my focus of where I want to go in our thinking tonight, is that no matter what happens in this church, the whole goal and plan is that we are equipping one another to do the ministry, right? And that's the concept of him. I do a lot of workshops and teaching and training in churches, trying to get them to see this very thing. And it might be surprising. I am a missionary, right? And I'm supported. But my mission work right now is mostly to churches in the United States to get them to do it God's way. Now, I'm not saying that I don't have some more motive in it. Because if I can get churches to equipping people to do ministry and become leaders in doing ministry and start equipping people themselves, the church is going to have more leaders and more workers than they need. And guess where we can use them? Around the world as missionaries, right? So, yeah, we admit we want more missionaries, right? But where do missionaries come from? From churches, right? And that's the concept that we're looking for. So, I'd like to be willing to just let you ask questions, but don't ask me about tithing. Uh, Any question you have about what I'm saying and the responsibility of the church in what we're talking about? So, yeah. Growth? The word edifying itself is a growth word. It's building up. And then in verse 15, it's grow up. And then in verse 16, in the use of the word edifying, but also the word increase of the body. So those are the words that I pick up to focus on growth. And then there's in verse 13, there's a lot of emphasis there on the concept that growth is exhibited. So that's where I get what I said in him. All right. Anything else?
How do you see that play out, Gary, in the local church?
Well, first of all, let's go back to our thinking in Jesus' ministry. What was the philosophy of his ministry? Yeah. He equipped 12 to do the ministry after he was gone. What was their ministry going to be? Make that Lord. It's interesting. Do you know, I like to point this out, but we use a translation that is not really a correct translation. Because that verse, the concept of making disciples, the correct translation is disciple all nations. And the whole concept is our job is to disciple everybody. And making disciples puts something, it's almost like saying, you go out and save them. You can't save a person, you can't make a disciple. But you can disciple, right? So that's the concept. I like to talk about discipling, not making disciples. Because there's only one person who can make disciples, and that's Jesus Christ. But I can disciple them, right? Now, you say, well, maybe that's making them disciples. But I want to get away from anything that looks like I did something. in producing something results. I can disciple. And that's a ministry. The word ministry has the idea of anything you do to help or encourage another person. You minister to them, right? And it's not something that you need to be able to be put up on a pedestal that you did it. But we all are involved in discipling people. And that's the concept there. So that's what I like to see produced out of that. Okay? It's like people say, I don't care how much you know until I know how much you care. And that's a really good application there. And I'm depending on the Holy Spirit to help me remember at least the gist of what the verse is. because I'd hate to go through life ministering based totally on my ability to remember. And so that would be. And it's interesting. There are a lot of people that preach against different versions of the Bible. And my answer is, God can use his word. And it may be that some of them are not perfect in their translation, but no matter what version they pick as the best one, it's not perfect in its translation. And I heard a man really preaching against a paraphrase of any part of the Bible. And we shouldn't use paraphrases. And then I said, well, what about the King James Bible that says in it several places, God forbid? And that is a paraphrase, because the translation is, might it never be. But they emphasize it by a word, a phrase that they used in their culture, God forbid, that expresses somewhat of the same thing, right? And so basically, every version I've ever seen has paraphrases in it. And none of them are perfect. But God still uses them, right? And that's the concept. I'm not a person who pushes translations, and I'm not a person who fights against them. You know that we do our best in a lot of countries around the world to translate the Bible into their language. Does everybody that does that do it perfect? No. But there's a lot of people that come to know the Lord through those translations, right? And I think there's some things that we can learn that some of the people or some of the versions may not do a good job. And I'd rather sometimes use another version. But it's God's word. And God can speak through some passages where somebody didn't actually get the best, most perfect translation. So we have to realize it's God's word that we're having to look at. So, okay. All right. Anything else? Probably. But I would say probably there is more likely that every church is given more than one of these. it's an interesting question, because one of these words has been determined to mean something that I don't think it does in its context. And that's the evangelist. We think that an evangelist is one that runs around from one church to another and preaches on evangelism. And that never was something happened in the scripture. The implication here is that every church can have an evangelist. And if you don't have one, what are you supposed to do? Find one. But Paul told Timothy, in his situation where he was, and Timothy, which one of these was Timothy? He was a teacher, right? But Paul said, you need to do the work of an evangelist. Now, what would that mean he needed to do? Learn it and teach some people in the church to be evangelists, right? We have a new workshop that we are traveling around trying to get several churches to get involved. In fact, they did one yesterday up in Michigan. And I think they had 27 people from about 15 churches coming. And our goal in that is to help train people in a church to be an evangelist for that church, so that they can lead the evangelism. It's not that they do it all. They lead the training of everybody. How many in a church need to be trained to do evangelism? Everybody, right? And I think that the evangelists that are doing the best job, if they're not part of a church, they're still emphasizing that their goal when they come is not to do the evangelism for the church, but to train the church how to do it. It's fostering harvest and shoe leather, two bookends that go together, but it's for a total different purpose in one sense. We're going to do one at our mission. The biggest weakness, really, there are three that need to be emphasized, and we're starting with the first one, because you can't do some of the others until you get some people saved, right? And we believe that churches need help in planning and doing their evangelistic ministry as a church. And are most pastors evangelists? No. And when Paul told Timothy to do the work of an evangelist, he meant that you've got to be teaching it yourself then, if you don't have an evangelist in the church. But if you do, if you can equip an evangelist in your church, let him lead it, you see. And that's what we're trying to teach there. in that harvesters thing that we did at the... They're not doing them at the IFC convention anymore. We're doing it for IFCA, but we're doing it by tribe and habit in different areas.
No, I was just saying
that. Yeah, you did it.
Daniel went.
Yeah, Daniel went. Right, And that would be good, yeah.
Another question.
I personally think that you need to make sure that you have written out your philosophy and your policies, which determines which one you emphasize, not that whether you, even if you say, I'm not going to get anybody, I'm going to try to get them all from inside. That's your philosophy. You need to write that out. But don't write it out by looking at what you have. Write it out by what you think would be best fitting the Word of God and what God's plan would be. And then you talk about, well, here's one that doesn't fit our plan. You have to work on how we work that out. Some of them you may keep, and some of them you may say, well, over the next 3 or 4 or 5 years, we're going to be having to cut down. But it's hard to do anything if you don't have a written philosophy and a written policy for missions. We happen to have a workshop to teach that because we think it's important. But the churches that have the most problems have nothing written. And the church as a whole needs to write that or agree to it. And the problem is, in a lot of older churches, a lot of the problem is that it's not written down, and who you support is based on who's kin to who and who likes who and all this stuff, and that's not a good policy. And, yeah, I could talk about some of the good things about the policy, but it needs to be something that you really work through yourself. One of the things that's really been happy for me is the way we've been doing these workshops, we have to print them ourselves, but we've changed that now. And some of them were costing us $25 to $30 at least to print. But we were only charging $20. But we just finished getting all of our stuff finished and done through Amazon. And if anybody orders one of our books, they order them from Amazon and they're $12. They can print them cheaper than we can. In fact, they're printing them cheaper, but they're giving us $2 or $3 for every one they sell. And the rest of it is for their cost. But it's, we've done a major amount of work this past year. Steve Louie has been really working to get all this done with Amazon. But I don't know whether you realize Amazon has a publishing thing, and they will publish a book, but it's printed on demand. They don't print books unless somebody orders it. If you order one, they print one. And it's put together as a book a lot better than we can put them together. And so it's fantastic to have that. And I know from people now, a good friend of mine out in Houston area who's written two or three books now, and I think all of his are published through Amazon. And you can order them through Amazon. And I went on Amazon the other day and asked for books that were from biblical ministries. There's a bunch of books they gave me, but if you look through them, you can find all of biblical ministries worldwide books. If you put Chad Barrett's name there, you'd come up with the books written by Chad Barrett. And you can order them right there. And some of them you can order as a book, and some of them, and most of them are paperback books, or some of them you can order a PDF file. We haven't set that up yet because we hadn't figured out how we recover ourselves from all the work we did by people getting PDFs, and how we can sell them or do that. I had a request form the other day, and I had to tell the fellow, we don't know the answer yet. We can't sell you a PDF file yet. We have them. and we're getting into a world where if I go and teach at a church, a workshop with one of our booklets, and there's 20 people, actually 20 people need a book, but some of them would rather have it on their computer. And right now, I don't know how to get give it to them on their computer. I suggested the other day that we could say, here's a PDF for your church. Maybe it's $75. And you can produce it, reproduce it, in your church only. Once you pay your $75, you can have it. And I don't know. I can't answer that. That was just a suggestion I had. And we're waiting to have a meeting in the next couple of weeks to try to make a decision on what to do with the, we call it the PDF file, but it's, and we're not ready to put them on Kindle because I have too much different kind of pictures and graphs and everything else, and it won't work on Kindle to do that, so, or Kindle or Nook or anything. So, anyhow, that's just a little bit about our workshops, but if our workshop on evangelism, it's called Mobilizing to Light the Globe, and you can buy one on Amazon. You don't have to be having the class to buy it and look at it. And that's, and they do cost, I think, $12 is the cost of all of our workbooks. So, okay. Anything else? I hope you've understood that I don't mind questions. I don't know everything, but I can give you enough to know that I don't know, or that I know enough about it to help you. Looks like that's all, maybe. Father, thank you for our time together, and thank you for your word. It's a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And we just commit ourselves to serve you with all of our heart. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.